Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning to you. No Tim today and no Cat. Eric Messersmith here of The Line Change, along with Ben Fredrickson of the Post-Dispatch, and of course Doug Vaughn, along with Iggy and the Plowboy. They got like the C team today, guys. I would say yesterday was the B team when Jay was here.
No, whoever is in there, those are the starters. Whoever you got.
He started the show by saying he wasn't here, and immediately the listener just went...
declining. Well, I don't know about that. Whoever, next man up. That's right. Kind of the philosophy we have.
I just think Doug deserves a round of applause for being here. I mean, everybody else, vacation, you know, days off, sponsor week, whatever they're calling it. But Doug's just in here doing work.
Right. Nose to the grindstone.
It's noticed, Doug. Yeah. You're appreciated.
Yeah. Do you not have the same vacation plan as the others, Doug? Is that how
it works? Get any vacation. I get none. I'm a 52-week-a-year sort of guy. Because journalism is my livelihood. It's my life.
You can't not do it. You know, it's not your job.
No.
It's just, it's what you do. If you woke up this morning and didn't have a place to spit Kevin Shattenkirk hot takes, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself.
Yeah. I know. I'd be a mess.
It's in your blood. It's the way, it's your lifestyle.
Well, and to think it's not really the industry I want to be in.
This 7 o'clock hour is brought to you by the BP credit card. You can earn rewards and then redeem at the pump. We've got a big show today. Lots of the Kevin Shattenkirk trade discussion. Cam Jansen is, if I don't see him enough on The Line Change or talk to him enough, he'll be with us at about 7:30. At 8:45, Mike Johnson, former Blues forward and NHL Network analyst, will give us a national perspective. Kelly Chase has his weekly hit coming up at 9:05. And Travis Terrell, formerly of We Are Live, will be in studio with us at 9:30 for the Email of the Day. And I hear the Email of the Day competition is very fierce this month, and this is the last, obviously, day of the month. So it could be decided. It's a big day.
It could have been decided yesterday, but I think we gave Bill Pullman's Independence Day a nod to keep it. Not that we would ever plan that, but it just so happened that he wrote a great email, and it's coming down to the wire.
He's one behind Misty Plops, I think.
Yeah,
and we're talking big prizes, big door prizes.
Yeah, I wasn't going to come in to do the show, but then Sea Monster told me that, and I said, well, I got to be here for this.
I would think so.
That sealed the deal.
Probably a landmark day in your personal career.
Oh, absolutely.
This is a $100 email of the day. I mean, the winner gets a $100 gift card to Hot Shots.
So get out of
you're
here.
You're playing for $100 today, boys.
You can feed the whole family a couple times.
I thought it was
just yourself, like 10 times.
Right. The way some
I'll take
of
it. I don't think you take the family out to the bar. I mean, they don't need to be around that. Just, you know,
just go
just
yourself.
Treat yourself 10 times.
Just keep the burgers coming, is what you say, until we max out on $100.
Now, this is interesting. Brentwood Forest Cabana Boy texts in, Doug takes vacation at my place. We cuddle.
No, that's not the case. That's a borderline suspension-worthy email. I'm going to let it go just because it's so early.
It's early,
I haven't written a date yet into the suspension logule.
You did bring the logule today.
I did.
I noticed that.
You have to be particularly vile if it's in the first 10 minutes of the show.
That wasn't that bad, was it? Cuddling is fine.
It feels like he's just going to get warmed up, and we'll see how they behave later.
Most people know this, but just in case, if you're new to the program, the text line is 855-282-8255. We are in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, and also that 855-282-TALK number, that is the appliance discounter phone line as well. So obviously, the big news of the day, if you haven't heard, Kevin Shattenkirk finally has been traded. The Blues get in return from the Washington Capitals a first-round pick this summer, a conditional second-round pick, and forward Zach Sanford. He's a 22-year-old rookie. He was the number 61 overall pick in 2013, a big-bodied 6'4", 200-pound center, played in 26 games with the Capitals this year. Also, the Blues sent Phoenix Copley, their minor league goaltender from the Chicago Wolves, to Washington for minor leaguer Brad
Malone.
That
wasn't a hot take. Was that
a
that was an accident.
I'm
real fired up about Phoenix. Phoenix, whoa, ding.
All right, so
sorry.
On Twitter last night, I'm sure you saw, Twitter's a bastion, of course, of calm, rational analysis for these kind of things.
That's right.
The Blues, I would say, were savaged for this trade. I personally thought, given where they were, the Shattenkirk was a rental. He's already turned down multiple trades. This was probably about the best they were going to get. And you, I just don't think you risk losing him for nothing at the end of the year.
Well, I mean, they were going to get ripped either way. I mean, if you kept him and then he walked, then you were going to get, you know, you're going to get hammered. Unless you win the Stanley Cup, you're going to get ripped. I think there's a couple things, I guess, with this. One of them is that you can be upset that that's all he brought, that he got to the rental stage. You know, that you lost one of the top defensemen in the league for a rental price. But also, you know, you have to acknowledge that the Blues tried to do something different with the guy. I mean, they tried to trade him multiple times, including this season, including back to 2015 when a deal fell through. As soon as he got the power to, you know, basically say no through a sign and trade, then their hands were kind of tied. I mean, they tried to move him to Tampa in what seemed like a pretty reasonable, you know, sign and trade, but he didn't want to do it. So I don't blame him, but I also don't blame the Blues for saying, look, we got to get something out of it. And is it waving a white flag? You know, I don't know. I think they want to make the playoffs. But I think their focus is the future. And I think they had to decide that we're going to prioritize that right now.
I was kind of surprised they got as much as they did. When a guy's just a rental and you come away with a first round draft pick, and we don't know if that's a second pick or what the hell that other pick is yet.
Yeah, that pick is.
Have you guys read any of the conditions about it?
Yeah, yes. It's long and complicated. Yeah. Basically, it's what? If Shattenkirk re-signs with Washington, then they get their second round pick in 2019. Or if they make the conference finals and he plays in more than 50% of the games in the first two rounds. Is that right?
Yeah,
right.
Who comes to that agreement?
No wonder it took so long to have it officially announced, but man, that's mind-numbing. So basically, if they, there's also like a condition, and a lot of people were freaking out last night because they're like, well, you know, originally it came out as the 2018 second-round pick. Well, the Capitals already traded that in a previous trade, so everyone's like, well, what do you mean? They don't have a second-round pick in 2018. It took a while for it to come out that it was 2019, but the way I understand it, if Washington signs him for at least next season, or before the third round of the playoffs, then and he plays in at least half the games in the first two rounds, then the Blues get the 2019 second round pick. If they trade him before July 1st, then St. Louis will receive the Capitals' next available seventh round draft pick. Which, however, if the cap, I'm reading this from,
it's someone who will never make
this directly from the Washington Post story on the Capitals side. However, if the Capitals receive a draft pick in return for Shattenkirk in that hypothetical trade that is a fourth round pick or earlier, then in lieu of that seventh round pick, the Blues will receive Washington's own next available draft pick two rounds later. Then the earliest draft pick received by the Capitals in exchange for
Shattenkirk. Oh, for crying out loud!
They got
another guy.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I bet that the Blues front office is pretty happy with this deal. And from what I was seeing on Twitter, it looked as though the Blues played the Capitals against both the Penguins and the Rangers, all three teams thinking they got a shot this year and not wanting one of the other two teams to come up with Shattenkirk for the playoff run.
That was genius.
Right.
Because the Capitals signed him as much as this. I think the Capitals signed him, agreed to trade for him as much to prevent other teams from getting him as much as they wanted him.
Right.
And they needed a defenseman, but they also were looking around going, we can stop these other guys from getting him.
Right. So in that regard, I think the Blues played it pretty well for a guy that they were about to lose and get nothing for. Nonetheless, I still don't like to see him go. I still really hate to see him go.
Well,
I feel like the Blues are losing their personality.
No, I agree with
between
you. I think that's a big story.
And Backes and Brouwer and the year before Oshie. I mean, they lost... Those are four of the most popular players they've had.
No, I think that's a story that's the follow here. Again, if you're upset about losing Shattenkirk, be upset that they had to let him get to the point where he had to go for this as opposed to a bigger deal. But the big picture is like they're losing some of their guys who are kind of defined their culture.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Oshie, I know he had his ups and downs here, but he settled down, and that's when the Blues parted ways with him. It's like you stuck with a crazy party girl, and then when she was ready to settle down, you broke up with her. It's like, no, you went through the ups and the downs. You're supposed to get the good years now.
Yeah.
And they got rid of him, and now he's a teammate with Shattenkirk. I do wonder what the cost is in the long run of losing so many guys who kind of defined your culture, not only for your fans, because those are the guys that people love. I mean, Shattenkirk was beloved here, but also your dressing room. I mean, those are the guys who kept guys together. They kind of set the tone. They were leaders. They were captains. And you just wonder what the ultimate cost is of losing some of these guys who kind of defined your team.
I think the criticism of Armstrong is misdirected if it's on this deal. I think this deal, given what Shattenkirk's demands were and given where they were, this was probably about as good as he could have done. The criticism brought more broadly, though, is you chose the wrong guys. Like, what brought you to this point is that you decided to give big money to Jay Bouwmeester. You decided to give money to Yuri Laterra. I think that's the criticism, is the reason you had to do this with Shattenkirk is because you chose other people. And I think you could argue you made a couple
right.
poor choices.
They've rewarded some very average players. Stastny got a huge contract. Jake Allen got a big contract. Solid players. You want them on the team. But are they really difference makers? I mean, those guys are replaceable, aren't they? I don't know how replaceable Shattenkirk's going to be, or Backes before him, or how replaceable Oshie would have been to sign him. It kind of feels like they're taking care of the middle of the roster instead of the top of the roster.
And I agree, but you're also talking about a team that's made one conference finals appearance. And, you know, I mean, it's a team that needed to get younger. And I think you couldn't sign Shattenkirk. I think they tried to in the offseason. Then they also tried to trade him in the offseason. I mean, he turned down a deal that would have gave us Taylor Hall, who would have been a much greater deal than what you got, you know, a month before the playoffs. But like I said, this is a team that's made one conference finals appearance. So I understand the locker room, Shattenkirk back, especially Brower for that 1 year. He was loved here for that 1 year. But, you know, you got to make changes for the future. And I like that. Like you said, Doug, I was surprised they actually got this much this late in the season.
I think they had a team last year, and you kind of saw this coming, where they, because of circumstance, were able to fit a lot of pretty good talent in under the salary cap because a lot of the younger guys hadn't gotten paid yet. I mean, Parayko, last year and this year, Fabry, they're playing for basically nothing. Schwartz was still on his rookie deal. He was playing for very little. They had a lot of guys that they weren't going to be able to keep everybody. But you could make the argument, like I said before, that years ago, they chose the wrong people. When they signed that, when they decided to make Yuri Laterra, who's probably a third line center in this league, a $5 million basically per year deal.
Well, I did say, I was telling Doug earlier last night when I was just, you know, obviously the people in the media are going to miss Shattenkirk. He's one of the best quotes. The media is really taking the biggest loss in this whole thing.
And it's all about
the
us.
It is. Yes. Yeah, the media has lost Ken Hitchcock. The media has lost David Backes. Now the media loses Kevin Shattenkirk. Troy Brower was usually good to talk to. So, I mean, we're really struggling. So the listeners need to understand where we're coming from here.
Right.
But I did tell Doug, you know, I really took solace. I think Blues fans should too. Last night when you're just kind of, you know, coming to grips with the fact that Shattenkirk is no longer a Blue, you know, I really took solace in the fact that you know, Berglund's going to be around for 5 more years. That was really, you know, when I went to bed last night and I couldn't sleep, I thought, well, at least Berglund will be in town for 5 more years.
Yeah, well, he's an okay guy. It's just that, I mean, he really is. It's just that Shattenkirk is one of the nicest guys you could ever hope to meet, and always had something interesting to say. Always. He was like the Bernie Federko of his generation. I mean, he was just fantastic.
You know, he's the biggest winner in this. Media is the biggest loser, and Shattenkirk's the biggest winner because he gets to go hang out with Oshie in Washington. For now, they're the favorite to win the Stanley Cup. And now, look, Washington's had a series of epic flameouts in the postseason, so nothing is guaranteed with him. But he gets to go play for a cup and a team that's the favorite. And then, oh, by the way, still probably gets to jump into free agency that's going to lead him where he wants to go with the Rangers.
Do you think Doug Armstrong should have consulted the local media before he made this deal about what it would mean to lose?
He calls me quite a bit to see what kind of moves I would suggest.
Did he say, Doug, I...
Some of this is on me, fellas.
What do you think about the trade? Let us know on the text line 855-282-8255 and the appliance discounter phone lines. And we have a call right now. Brentwood Forest Cabana Boy wants to weigh in on the trade. Go ahead, sir.
Hello, Brentwood.
Hey, this is the guy you cuddle with, Doug?
No, Doug? Different guy. Yeah. What?
Are you there?
Yes, what? What do you want?
You know what?
What?
The Shattenkirk trade is a gift from God. Because you know what? They could have gotten him free for next year. So we'll take the draft picks. We'll take whatever, the 6'4", 190, 210, whatever he's weighing in at. But the Berglund extension, this guy performs in a contract year every year, Doug. Every year. He performs in a contract year. And you're going to sit there and say, Shattenkirk had personality. Shattenkirk had this. Shattenkirk didn't have anything. He had nothing.
What?
Zeroed off.
He had the second most points on the team.
He's one of the most. He was most highly sought after defenseman on the market in the entire league.
Nothing to offer.
What kind of comment is that?
That's good research.
Well, so these are the. Is this the level of
it's
the hot takes?
A hot take.
Yeah, it
hot
is.
Hot take from hot Blues fan. That's what it is.
All right.
You don't think Shattenkirk's very good?
Thanks for the call, Brentwood. Forrest Cabana Boy.
So is Berglund, and so is the whole team. Oh. Burn it down.
Oh wow.
Burn the whole Scott Trade Center down. Burn it down. Bring out the bulldozer. Turn it into a parking lot. It's over, Doug.
Okay, pot him down. Pot him down.
He's just he's belligerent. He's going to miss Shattenkirk. He's having a hard time processing his feelings.
I think that's probably what it is. Yeah.
Unless our callers call in and talk about Doug's ass, they really had nothing.
They don't have a whole lot else to offer, do they?
Not great when it ventures into actual sports talk.
Right.
Who's going to get the playing time now that Shattenkirk is... Well, he's a 20-minute a guy player.
Yeah.
20-minute a game.
I think Parayko slides into a more
Parayko's
prominent
gotta be
role.
Bigger, yeah.
And
he plays all the time anyway.
He can't leave the ice ever.
He's got to play 35 minutes.
Somebody who's not playing
needs a camel pack out there. He's got to stay out there.
Yeah. Well, it's good news for Gunnarsson or Bertuzzo. I guess Bertuzzo lately, because now they're going to be in the lineup every night. And they'll probably call... I'm sure they'll call one of those defensemen up from the Wolves. Maybe that Vince Dunn guy who got in that fight the other day. That's what Cam was talking about yesterday. He knocked a guy out off the ice, so maybe they'll call him up to reward him for that.
Oh, yeah, I saw the video of that.
Yeah, they got in a fight in the hall by the locker room.
Did he win that fight? Because somebody couldn't tell who actually won it.
I don't know if he won it on the ice.
If he didn't win it, I don't want him. I don't want him.
But he knocked the dude down.
If you're going to get in a fight off the ice, you better win. That should be a qualification for being called up.
This is on their way to the locker room, though. What is it? Not like a bar fight.
Right, yes.
Because I think I saw a video and didn't really hear what they were saying. But
yeah, they fought on the ice.
They were walking. I think they got thrown out, right? Or were they going back for a break or something? They kind of met in the middle back there by the Zamboni.
So this is the guy we're counting on now. The guy who got in a fight by the Coke machine at a minor league game.
Yeah, he's the hero we need.
This is your last hope right now. On the text line, this is from the 314, people like Shattenkirk because he can score, but forget how terrible his D is. Example last year in the playoffs. I think it's fair to say the Blues shouldn't have paid Kevin Shattenkirk $7 million plus a year, which is probably what he's going to get. And I think that's a fair point.
No, I think they obviously didn't think that he was worth that. I mean, and that goes back to kind of their evaluation of him, the guys they prioritized above him. So they clearly did not think he was worth the kind of haul that he was going to get. They inquired, I think in years past about maybe looking at an extension with him, and found out that, hey, we don't want to go where he's going. Yeah. So once that became the decision, then the hope became to move him. And if Blues fans are upset about anything, I think they should be upset that they didn't get a better, not a rent, they didn't do something, they didn't move him before the rental stage. But again, that's not entirely on their fault, because they tried, three, four, five times?
Yeah.
And things fell through, and then it came to this year where he didn't have a no-trade clause, but he kind of did. Because in order to get the most, you had to do a sign-and-trade, and he said no to multiple deals. So, in some ways, you kind of feel for the Blues, because they identified him as a guy that wasn't going to be in their long-term plans moving forward, and they tried to find a way to maximize that, and they just didn't get there. But, if you look at in terms of rental, I think this is what you could have asked for. You asked for a player, someone who has a legitimate chance of helping you. You ask for a first-round draft pick, and then you get, maybe you hit the lottery in the second round or later on. One of the things that's interesting is I've seen a lot of people bashing this upcoming draft. And I saw some hockey insiders saying, well, the reason so many teams are willing to give a first-round pick on rentals this year is because the draft isn't very good.
Yeah, I was.
So that's something to kind of monitor moving forward.
I was in Saskatchewan last week watching some players.
You've been scouting.
How would you
junior B guys? And I can tell you that's a little thin.
Well, that's like if they could say it's a great draft, and I would be like, yeah, I'm going to repeat that on the radio because who really knows?
Heavy draft. Yeah, some of these kids in Nova Scotia this year. I mean,
it's a bad crop.
There's a handful.
It's a bad crop. They say. I think it's the Canadian Football League. They're really thinning out the available talent. I think so.
On the text line, Mitch the Sex Kitten says, did you see Shat's hairline? We don't need that around here.
Oh, wow. That's not very nice.
Well,
you think Shattenkirk and Oshie are going to have a nice, just calm dinner, nice early dinner, first night in town in Washington? They won't go out and get wild, will they?
Probably will.
Oh, okay.
I expect they will.
Yeah, I imagine they'll have a good time.
But on the subject of paying him, in most cases, the guys who score, those are the ones that get the big bucks. the defenseman who just falls down in front of a slap shot and blocks a shot every now and then.
Why are you talking about Bomeister like that?
He's not going to get the $7 million a year.
Oh, he said falls down. I didn't hear the block. I just heard falls down.
Even if Shattenkirk might not be the best defensive rear guard in the league, the fact that he is one of the top offensive blue liners in the loop is why he's going to get all that cash.
If you have thoughts on Doug's takes on rear liners, rear guards,
rear
go
guards
ahead and text
and
those
liner.
In. Yeah, that was good. I also wonder, like, I don't know. I think that ultimately, at the end of the day, it was the right move, but it's really going to suck if that Washington team goes on to win the Cup for Blues fans.
Yeah. And the Blues don't make the playoffs.
It's 109 now, 109 former Blues that have won a Stanley Cup somewhere else, and it could be 111 if Washington wins.
And the four winningest coaches in the history of the league are all former Blues coaches who won Cups other places.
Although, if you are a Blues fan, you do hope Washington does at least get to the conference finals, then you get that second round pick in 2019. We're going to have Cam Jansen join us here pretty soon, host of The Line Change from 3 to 6. Make sure you listen into that show. Former Blues enforcer to get his take on it. Buy local and help the St. Louis economy. Appliance Discounters is the largest locally owned appliance company in the area with 6 great showrooms. Appliance Discounters have reduced the price on every appliance in their stores. It doesn't matter what kind of sale the competition is offering. Appliance Discounters is always lower. Plus, unlike the big box stores, Appliance Discounters has their own service department. No calling 800 numbers if you ever need service. The Appliance Discounters, where our savings are your savings.
Have you guys seen this video from Nelly Plowsy?
No, tell us more.
Apparently, Nelly found Mike Piazza.
Yeah.
And was holding him accountable because Mike Piazza said there was no good place to eat in St. Louis.
Right.
And now he's got him apologizing on Twitter.
Has he really?
How about that?
Where'd he go to find him? Not in Italy where he's
I don't know. I'm gonna have to do some research here. I think Mike Piazza looks like he's been drinking.
Do we have that clip
about
of Chris Mono still in there, Plowsy, talking about going off on Piazza?
How about that? Nelly. You know, he's a true leader.
Representing, man.
Yeah, of all the things to criticize St. Louis for, restaurants would be way at the bottom of the list, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Mike Piazza, he's a questionable character. And that really showed it, that comment.
Yeah. I think
he's been here, like, he played more than 50 games here. He never had a good meal.
Well,
he just tells me he's not very smart.
Yeah, he couldn't have looked very hard.
Yeah,
I think he was just trying to make a funny, smart-aleck comment.
He didn't realize that everyone in St. Louis would be holding him accountable. He didn't know Frank Cusimano, probably.
Probably didn't.
Well, he does now.
Well, there's a lot of things you could say about St. Louis, and you agree with Piazza. Not that, though.
I know, no place to eat.
I mean, your godfather is at Charlie Gito's every time he's in town. Great food at Charlie Gito's.
I don't get it. But apparently he's apologized, so good for him. Good for Nelly for holding him accountable.
Clearly, Piazza's never been to Hot Shots.
We could give him a gift card if he would apologize in email.
That would change his mind. Yeah. Toot sweet.
He might take out Misty Plops.
Well, former Dodger and former Met Mike Piazza had to make a decision between owning a third team.
That was it? That was poor editing.
That was great.
That was lousy editing. It went on more than that.
I didn't.
You cut it right there.
You got the best part.
I think
you got the best part.
No, I put the whole thing in there. Plowsy was in spring training last week. I did that. I didn't edit that. I don't know who edited that. Superstars came in and wanted to take a bite out of it, and they took it too much out of it.
Dr. Woody Bender on the text line. Doug, speaking of blue liners, I saw one on the pregnancy test.
Uh-oh.
Time to pay the child support, big boy. That's from Doc.
I don't know if that was that directed at me. Or?
I think it was.
So, yeah.
How would that work exactly?
unless who do you say?
Dr. Woody Bender.
Maybe Dr.
Oh,
Woody,
he's a doctor.
Could actually be a leggy blonde.
Grant Fuhr's beard stubble says, defenseman aside, Doug, you better guard that rear tonight.
Here they come.
Well, now hold on a second, because you brought that up.
Grant Fuhr's beard stubble has indeed been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time, and his name, even as we speak, is being written into the handsome leather-bound Llewellyn's Pub suspension log. What am I using to write his name down? Well, a Wright Business Systems pen. Thank you. I don't expect that felt very good.
Doug's secret friend. Enough sports talk. If I want to hear that, I'll turn on 101. Let's talk Lady Gaga porn and Doug. That man Doug was great last night. I'm still smiling from our date. His rump was tight and right.
You know, Eric, here the first rule is you don't have to read all of the
time. Oh, trust me. I'm screening. There are others I'm not reading.
All right.
Apparently,
he's only reading the appropriate ones.
Apparently, we've upset the sports talk to other stuff balance on this program. Yeah. I know
that was like 20 minutes of straight sports.
It was a newsworthy morning.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm worn out.
We'll talk. We can talk porn with Cam Jansen. We'll just offset it.
Well, perhaps Iggy, you'll have to step in on that one.
Does Cam watch porn?
Let's find out.
That'd be a nice first question right out of the shoot.
By the way, do you watch porn, Cam?
Yeah, we've not really addressed that specific question on the line change. So.
Well, you're a legitimate sports show.
Well, I don't know about that. Have you listened?
No.
We talked a lot of sports yesterday and a lot of sports today. But when, you know, probably your top 2-3 player on your team is traded,
yeah,
you talk about it.
I think that's fair to talk about for
and
sure.
And you get calls like, he sucks. The Blues suck. He's terrible. Yeah.
He's an awful player.
I wish we could go to an alternate universe and like what fans would have said if the Blues would have lost in the first round and kept Shattenkirk.
Mm-hmm.
Or not made the playoffs and kept Shattenkirk and then he leaves via free agency. I wish we could go to what the takes would have been on that day.
Yeah, and if you have a guy you know is going to leave, like you're pretty much 100% sure, what are you supposed to do? Now, if they were in first place, but does anyone really think that they're a cup contender right now? I know if you make the playoffs and you get hot, sure, but come on.
Well, this tells us, we said all along, we'll find out what this team really thinks of itself at the trade deadline or by the trade deadline. And we've been told they are a team that is not worried about making a run this year. They're a team that made a coaching change and is prioritizing, you know, the future. And that's what this trade says. So at least their messages are lining up because for a while they weren't. And that was very confusing. But now we know what they are.
When they made their big run last year, we thought, well, maybe they're just a player away from actually getting there. And you think of what they lost. They lost the goalie that took them there. They lost two of the highest scoring players in the playoffs in Brouwer and Backes. Mm-hmm. Now they've lost their highest scoring defenseman.
Don't forget their
coach. Lost their coach. Yeah. So it's a significant step backwards.
You just wonder. Yeah. I thought, you know, I think that's where some of the frustration comes from because you thought, all right, this is the year. Like they got so close last year. You know, find a way to keep those guys and make a push this year. 50th anniversary, Winter Classic, make this year the run. Well, what we find out is last year was the run. we thought it was coming. Yeah. It happened.
We saw it.
And now it's you know, it's rebuild mode. This team's rebuilding. I mean, let's call it what it is. It's not you know, whatever they tried to spin it as. It's rebuilding.
Well, you would hope that having lost all of that veteran talent, some who have appeared in all-star games, that they would have acquired some really good young talent in return. But I don't know that they've got anybody who's really young that looks... Pareko maybe looks like a future star.
Fabry's out, so that kind of clouds things with Fabry. Yeah, I mean, who knows what he'd be doing right now if he wasn't.
Do you think Fabry's going to be a future all-star?
Maybe, yeah. I think so.
A chance.
I think that's Pareko and Fabry could be at that level. They should be, hopefully. I mean, the Blues need them to be.
Yeah, they better be.
Sailor Jerry, the official spiced rum of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And now let's go to the appliance discounter phone lines and talk to Cam Jansen, former Blues enforcer and host of the Line Change. Cam, I don't have to deal with you enough, I guess. Now we have to talk in the morning, too. What's up, buddy?
What a goofy-ass trio this is.
Oh, okay, I know, right? Knock it off.
I said this is definitely like the C-minus team today.
Stop throwing shade.
I don't know. Hey, Messerschmidt, you get sent down or what?
I'm doing double duty today, man.
Yeah, I hear you, man. We got a long day today, man. A lot going on.
I'm going to be running on fumes, though, so you're going to have to carry the show later.
Oh, dude, I'm going to be running on fumes for the next week, trust me.
Yeah, Cam's got the Tim McKernan vacation time. He's heading out tomorrow on a little trip.
Where are you going, Cam?
Oh, I'm just taking a private jet down to a couple islands on a 186-foot yacht. No big deal.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't pay for it, trust me.
The life
of
an athlete.
This is a Blues alumni trip?
Yeah. I picked this one up. We just got back from Chicago. Now we're going on a yacht. They're really courteous to me.
Whose yacht is it? Whose yacht?
Well, what really wealthy people do is they fly privately out of Spirit Airport, and then they rent these big yachts, and you rent them for a week, and that's what you do when you're really, really successful. Unlike all of us, of course.
Right. At least you know somebody who's in that category.
Yeah, it's all about networking. You know how it is.
Yeah, we got no friends here.
We could get like a small raft or something. That
Yeah, you could do that.
Float trip somewhere.
I've been on a couple float trips, yeah.
I'm not going on float trips. I can't stand float trips. There's snakes in the water, and there's frogs everywhere, and there's outdoor bathrooms. I'm not going.
Ooh, those frogs will get you.
Yeah, I don't like frogs.
You got to have a rear guard in those outdoor bathrooms.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to own a Boston Whaler.
You guys just aren't hillbillies, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
You're scared of the river?
I'm just not interested. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, Cam, I don't think they've ever heard your stories about being on the water. You've had some crazy adventures out there.
Well, man, I've had a boat for 10 years, and I live right next to the Merrimack River. I've been up and down that damn thing. And you know who's my buddy on the boat a lot is Pat Maroon, who we're going to see tonight. We had a couple incidents out there where we had to swim and chase the boat down because the boat got kind of tangled up, and the wave hit it. We had it parked on a beach, and it started floating down the river, and we both had to get in and swim after it. He doesn't swim too well, put it that way. He's about 240 pounds, swims like a rock.
So, Cam, there was legitimate sports news. The Shattenkirk deal, we've been waiting for it for a while. What did you think of what the Blues got?
Why, what happened?
Oh, no.
This is why we have you on this show.
Yeah, I'm so prepared. Look, this is, you know, you could take it. I mean, you could dissect this in a million different ways, and it's kind of confusing. These conditional draft picks and stuff, like, it's just like, okay, it's hard to really wrap your head around it. But the main thing is that we got something for him. And, yeah, you could look at this year like, well, you know, it's the 50th anniversary. I heard you guys talking about that. But this is somewhat of a rebuilding year. I mean, it kind of is. I mean, we lost a couple big dogs last year, obviously Bax and Brow. And you kind of went through a weird, weird stage where you're just losing games left and right. You kind of went in that funk, and Jake Allen and both goalies and the defense. It was a weird year, and it is somewhat of a rebuilding year, believe it or not. It kind of is. And, you know, we're still on the verge of making a playoff, so we're still in an okay spot. But with this trade, I think, you know, we're somewhat weak up the middle, in my opinion, and with size, and it's hard to find a big center that could take faceoffs. I mean, they're few and far between, and to get to pick up a prospect that's 6'4" that has a little bit of NHL experience and it could take faceoffs. I mean, you know, and plus a couple picks. Now it's up to the scouting department. You know, you got a first rounder. Let's do our homework. I know Marty's working it. Marty Brodeur's working his ass off figuring things out, and the scouting department. And you figure out who you want to pick. Who you know, where's our weak points at, and take advantage of these picks one way or the other. Yeah, it's hard to give up Shatty, man. I mean, he was so cool, great guy, great for this city. But it's a business, and you know, he put himself in this position. And I said this yesterday. Look, when you're a player, your whole life you work your ass off from when you're a kid, and you think about it, and all that blood, sweat, and tears you go through over the years to put yourself in a position like this. Are you kidding me? I wish I was good enough to do this, man, to be sitting here picking and choosing where the hell I want to go and holding out on as much money as possible. And look, that sounds greedy, but it's not, though. It's a business. This is why you do this, so you could put yourself in these kind of situations, so you could set yourself up for life. Who the hell wouldn't do that? Think about it. His kids aren't going to have to work if he puts his money in the right spot or whatever. Like, he's got to take advantage of this, and he did, and he deserves it, and he might win a Stanley Cup this year. I mean, it is what it is.
It's happened to a lot of former Blues. I think 109 now currently former Blues have won a Stanley Cup elsewhere. He could be the next Hitman Oshie together in Washington. Cam, when you look at this team that stays behind, who immediately needs to step up with Shattenkirk's response with his departure?
Well, everybody does. Everybody does. I know I'm picking on Schwartzy right now, but he needs to step his game up, and he knows that. He's a good kid, too, but everybody does. And the main guy is Colt Branco. Him and Jay Bomeister had a rough game in Chicago, and he had 5 days off, this and that. But Minnesota just had 5 days off, and they looked pretty damn good last night without Zach Parise and, I believe, Plamondon. Look, everybody has to step up collectively. They do. And Parenko is going to get a lot more ice time. He's going to get a lot more time on a power play, and he's just going to have to step his role up a bit. And it's going to be exciting to watch. I mean, he's a hell of a player. He's our future. We're going to have to re-sign him, and he's going to have to carry a big load here. And look, you got to look at Shaddy. He's a right-handed defenseman. For D, it's tough to – so you're going to pay Shaddy all this money, and then what is he going to be, your third defenseman, second defenseman? I mean, think about it. Are you going to keep Parenko as a third D pairing if you kept him? I mean, you can't – it's hard to move guys over to their port side. If they're a right-handed shot and they played right D pretty much their whole career, it's tough to move to left D. You got to think, all the times you go D to D and you got to pick it up on your backhand and try to make that pass in the middle on your backhand. I mean, it's a difficult transition. So, I mean, there's just a lot to this trade, and there's just so much to dissect. It'll make your head spin. But the bottom line is we had to get something for Shaddy. You know we couldn't re-sign. I mean, you know he wants to either go to contender or he wants to go back to New York to play around his hometown. It's a tough one, but at least we got somebody. I mean, we're talking about centers and how weak we are up the middle. I mean, we got a big center that we could develop, and we got a couple picks. So, yeah, it's tough to lose Shaddy, and a lot of guys are going to have to step up right now. But overall, you know, I think we got a decent trade in this whole thing. I mean, gosh, he could have just walked at the end of the year, and we could have lost in our first round, and then what would we be doing? So I'm excited to see what this big kid does. And, again, it's up to the scouting department to really, really do their homework and pick and choose some good players in the draft.
And there's a defenseman that's been watching games from the press box that will now be out there playing. Who do you think steps up and gets some of that playing time?
Well, I mean, Gunnarsson, Bertuzzo, they're all going to have to step up. Edmondson, they're all going to have to – every single one of them, they're going to have to step up. I mean, they really are. And we've already talked about this, Edmondson, Bertuzzo. They're going to have to bring that extra element every single night. They're going to have to play that tough game, you know, hard in front of the net, sticking up for 91. That's the big thing for me. I mean, they're the kind of guys – it's tough for Ryan Reeves to stick up for Vladimir Tarasenko all the time because he doesn't get that much ice. But when Bertuzzo and Edmondson both play, they play a lot. They're always on the ice. One of them is going to be on the ice one way or the other. They have to let other teams know that, you know, no one touches 91. I don't care. No one touches him. Do you think anybody touches Connor McDavid without Pat Maroon or Lucic or somebody getting in their face? I mean, it just doesn't happen. Watch tonight. It won't happen. We need to play hard on Connor McDavid tonight. But, again, back to Bertuzzo and Edmondson, they got a lot to do. They're going to have to step their game up. And I like both of them. I love the way they both play. But they got to bring that extra physical element and really, really stand out, especially when you got your superstar. You got your Wayne Gretzky on the ice and Vladimir Tarasenko. No one touches him. So that's what I expect out of those two guys, step their game up and bring more of that physical element. Like, hey, no one comes in here and messes with our big dog.
Cam, we media got to you know and really like Kevin Shattenkirk because he was a great quote. He was always good, you know, in the interviews. But, you know, one of the potential serious questions about this team is they've lost some guys who kind of defined that team culture, who kind of were leaders and celebrated as the best teammates. You look at Backes, you know, Brouwer, he wasn't here for a long time, but he kind of fit that mold. Brian Elliott, you know, even Oshie to a point, and now Shattenkirk. Who needs to kind of who are the future leaders of this team? Who are the people who kind of define and turn into that best teammate role moving forward? I know it's not a knock on Tarasenko, but he's a, you know, he does his thing and he's an outstanding player, one of the best in the league. But he is not necessarily grabbed that kind of outward leadership type role. Who has to fill that void now that Shattenkirk's gone?
Well, all the older guys do. I mean, they all of them. I mean, obviously Petro does his thing and, you know, Pauly Stastny and Alex Steen and those guys. But eventually, Colton Parenko is going to have to be that guy to be that leadership role. I think eventually he's going to do that. And I know he's very young now. I know we got to re-sign him. But the guys like that, and obviously our older guys already know what they need to do as far as the leadership is concerned. But I think over the years, I think you'll see Colton Parenko is really going to step up. I mean, he's unbelievably mature for his age already. And my gosh, you look at the kid, you know, he looks like the Terminator. I mean, he's huge. He's got a huge neck on him. You know, he's humble. I think he's going to be the next guy to really step up and take that leadership role in the back end. But, yeah, then again, he's still pretty young. And, yeah, Vladdy needs a lead on the ice more than anything. He just needs to be a leader on the ice. I mean, yeah, he can do what he wants in the locker room and give his speeches or whatever. But a lot of other guys need to be that rah-rah. He's more of like, hey, I'm going to take control of this ice. I'm going to be the best player on the ice. I'm going to outplay other superstars. Like, you got to look at that. He got outplayed by two superstars the other night in Chicago. The Chicago superstars outplayed our superstars. And Vladdy needs to set that precedent like, hey, I'm going to be the best player in the world. I want to be the best player on the ice tonight. Yeah, we got another couple big dogs, Connor McDavid and guys like that. I need to outplay the big boys. And that's how I think that he needs to take control of this leadership, is just to do it on the damn ice. You have the talent to really take control of these games. You really do. You are a phenomenal grade-A superstar, Vladdy Tarasenko. Bring it every single night. Jonathan Toews does. I mean, he does. When he loses games, he's genuinely pissed. I'm not saying that Vladdy's not or anything like that. I'm not. They just compete. Those guys compete. They compete. And Vladdy needs to take that leadership role on the ice and be the best superstar on the ice every single night. It's tough to do, but that's his mindset he needs to have, in my opinion.
When a guy changes teams like Shattenkirk going to Washington or whoever comes here, how hard is it to fit right in with the new system? Because we always hear how we have a certain strategy on the power plays, and this is how we're going to get the puck up the ice. And then somebody goes to a new team, and he's right in the lineup the next night. How hard is it really to gel with a new team?
Well, for me, it wasn't hard at all, because all I did was go out there and hit one way or the other. I didn't even know what the system was.
Right.
But a guy like Kevin Shattenkirk is a little bit more important than I was on the ice. He's going to have a little bit more difficult look. He's going to be in a power play, and that's another whole thing. You know, it's a different power play unit. You got Osh, and you got a guy named Alexander Ovechkin. I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. But so you're going to have to, especially the power play, I think, if he's going to be quarterback on that power play, which I'm sure he's going to, that might be a little difficult to get used to, but it's an exciting experience, man. I mean, it really is. Everybody's like, oh, God, I feel bad. No, I mean, this is great for Shattenkirk. I mean, it really, really is. He's going to go to that Washington team. He probably knows a bunch of the guys. You know, he's probably already had 6-7 meetings already, you know what I mean, just about everything. It's overwhelming when you do get traded, because you go right in there, you unpack all your stuff, you sit down, you talk to the owner, you talk to the GM, then you have a meeting with the coaches, then you go over everything. They sit you down and they go over everything with you, and it's just like, okay, one at a time. At least I was like that. Like, oh, okay, how about I just go do my thing? But again, I could do that. Shaddy can't. Shaddy really needs to dissect all of this, because he's so important. He's going to be logging a ton of ice time. You know, he needs to know the system in and out, and that's going to be a little bit difficult. But again, it's going to be very exciting for him too. He knows he has a chance to go really, really deep in the playoffs. He's with his other buddy, TJ Oshie. Yeah, so in that sense, it's sometimes overwhelming with all the different X's and O's that you have to change in your game. But it's also a very, very, very exciting experience, too.
Kim, with the Blues now losing Shattenkirk, and Jake Allen's playing a lot better, and it looks like he's back to being the goalie of the future, what's the hole on this roster? What's the thing that they need to try to address this offseason so that they can get back to contending for cups next year?
Consistency. We're kind of weak up the middle and little things like that, but just a consistency. I mean, we went through a month where it was one of the worst months I've seen, somewhat of a breakdown month I've seen and I've ever seen, really. And we found a way to get out of that, and now we're still in a decent spot. I just think this overall collectively just more consistent from our big guys. I mean, I haven't seen Jaden Schwartz in a while. I don't like the rag on him, because I'm going to go see him in about 2 hours right now. He's going to give me a dirty ass look again, just like Vladdy does. But I got to be honest, he's been missing for a while. We need our superstars to be superstars. We do. You got to look at other teams. Other teams' superstars, they show up. They do. They show up, and they show up every night, and they make a difference. We just need to be more consistent. We got the tools to do it. We just got to bring it every single night. And I think that starts in the locker room, too, and everybody needs to be on the same page. We can't have guys not showing up for 4 or 5 games straight like this. Not this time of the year. Everybody needs to be focused on the same damn page. I mean, this is such a crucial part of the year. I mean, it's go, 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 go. You don't have time to take nights off. You just don't. There's a lot on the line, money and everything. There's a lot to this year, and everybody needs to stay on the same page and be focused. Our superstars need to show up, and they need to show up every single night. That's my concern going forward from here. And then after this season, we'll reevaluate and see where we're at. But as of right now, the big dogs got to outplay other big dogs. You get my point?
Our friend Sad Panned on the text line says, God, please tell Cam that I said hi. He knows what that means.
Hmm.
Oh, I do.
Is that who you're going on the boat trip with?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, he's the one paying for it.
Oh, wow.
Really wealthy. You didn't know?
Nice.
Interesting.
And he's a chief, so it's pretty cool.
Oh,
Sad Panda makes a lot of inappropriate comments, Doug. You would appreciate
noticed,
it towards
yeah,
Cam.
His name,
he has
you know him.
Featured Doug, prominently.
He knows you pretty well.
I've never met the gentleman.
I think you're lying.
Hey, Cam, are you and Doug, have you guys buried the hatchet?
Oh, I'm using this pen right now. I don't know if he's still pissed about that.
I am.
I'm in control.
You stole all the Right Business Products pens with my name on them?
Are you going to suspend me?
I might.
Damn.
I might, and I wouldn't expect it would feel very
good. Who do you think would win if Doug and Cam went D2D?
It'd be pretty tough, pretty tough, hard scramble battle, I bet.
Yeah. I don't know. I might put my money on you. You kind of creep me out a little bit. I don't know if I'd even want to jump into the ring with you, buddy.
Oh, right. You know, you'd probably better keep your distance.
Yeah. All right, Cam. I'll see you at 3 this afternoon, buddy. Big show.
Yeah, hey, save it. You got a long day ahead, Eric. You're save some of it, okay, bud?
All right, man. I'll see you later. Cam Jansen, former Blues enforcer and host of The Line Change, which is the best sports show on this station from 3 to 6, Monday through Friday.
I would think so. Cam was getting pretty angry. He was using some borderline curse words even to describe what some of the players
needed to do. That's a good way to ramp up your takes.
I think so.
Start doing some of that in the paper.
Right. I bet the time will come when that's okay in the paper.
Yeah, be fine.
If newspapers are still around in another 10 or 15 years.
Well, there's always AM radio.
Yeah, you can get it out there.
AM radio will never die. The Cam was talking about the D2D change, and the text line is really enjoying that, by the way. A lot of people commenting. I won't read some of those. Hey, Doug, why don't you tell us about Bertarelli Cutlery?
Well, normally when we think about Bertarelli, we think Chop Chop Cheeky because they sharpen knives. But they also have now Bertarelli Paper Company. You guys probably didn't know that because you're schleppers. Well, they have warehouse, restaurant, office managers. Now's the time to look alive because Bertarelli Company, Paper Company can give you the quality products you use for a quality price. And a lot of us saying, hey, where am I going to get my paper supply? Well, I'm telling you right now, it's Bertarelli Paper Company. Not only paper products such as toilet paper, paper towels, register paper, also industrial, medical, and restaurant gloves, to-go boxes, trash can liners, napkins, cling wrap, you name it, if it's paper, Bertarelli Paper Company sells it. It's a family-run business with personalized services to give you the attention you and your business deserve. So visit them online, and you're saying, okay, where online? Where do I go? Well, here, BertarelliPaperCompany.com. That's where you go for Bertarelli Paper Company.
And did you guys know that for more than four decades now, Audio Express has been the leader in everything car audio?
I was hoping you would bring that up.
Over four decades.
Yeah.
They've installed every type of system in every type of vehicle you can imagine. How's your system, Doug? Is it rocking?
I could use some help because two of my cars, you know, I've got like a lot of drivers.
A lot of cars?
Well, old cars, 200,000 miles.
Is this your attempt to show up Cam, who's going on a private flight? And
well, these are like
mini cars, one for each day of the week.
These are cars with more than 200,000 miles on them. And they have
classics.
They have a bunch of CDs stuck in the audio player. So we can't really use the CD player, can't get out the CDs that we had. To both of them.
Can you play the CD that's in the player?
No.
Oh,
no.
So you can't even listen to that.
One of the knuckleheads driving tried to insert two CDs at the same time in both of these. And so they're both jammed up, can't get the CDs, can't use the CD player. So
are these
yes.
your children who did this?
Yes, these would be my children
who
did this.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So I'm interested in hearing about this Audio
Express. Yeah, you need to check them out. But, Doug, that's not all they do. They also offer the best brand names at the absolute lowest installed prices on driver's safety. Things like complete backup camera systems, so you can see everything behind you when backing your vehicle up right from the screen. On compatible car stereos or even a screen built into your rearview mirror, starting as low as $139. Audio Express is also the leader in vehicle accent lighting. They offer the best quality LED headlights as well as LED lights for underneath your vehicle or inside. And don't forget about lane avoidance products either.
We need those safety products in cars. I read the other day that fatal car accidents in the U.S. last year hit the highest level since like the 60s.
Really?
Because
a lot of texting and driving
going
on.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah. People will not put down the phone. And people getting hit by cars is up.
Well, distracted pedestrians also.
Yeah.
I saw a report about that on the news there, and it's not just the drivers. It's the people walking around with their heads in their phones. People on Tinder, Plowsy.
That could be. It occurred to me a little while ago that it's really easy to drive when I'm not looking at my phone. It's a piece of cake. But when you're reading an article of some kind and you don't really want to look up, even though you're going 70 miles an hour, at times it's hard.
What about when you're trying to be a good driver and you have your GPS on your phone?
Yeah, and
it's like text messages and phone calls and tweets, and it's like it's so hard to ignore that when you're driving. You're looking at your phone and the GPS, and then a text pops up.
Right.
It's like,
what do you do?
What do you do?
You have to look at the text.
I mean, you're not going to not read it.
Yeah. And there's a guy just changed lanes right in front of you, but you know, you really didn't see it.
And he's talking on his phone, mm-hmm. like a decent person. He's not texting and driving. He just has it up to his ear.
Yeah. We really need these self-driving cars like today.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
I'd be down.
Then we could do all of our surfing and not have to worry about it.
I don't think it's too far away. Although you're going to have to buy a new car to get one, and that, you know, eliminates most of us.
That has done that?
With the self-driving?
Yeah,
with the Teslas.
Yeah, is it a Tesla?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they're talking about in 10 years or so, or maybe 20 years, people might not even own cars.
Oh,
because
man.
What you'll have is just self-driving cars that will just, it'll be like an Uber service, but there won't be anyone in there. So you'll just say, I need a ride to work, and a car will be right outside your door ready for you.
I don't like that.
Here, take a mic.
We can't hear you without a microphone.
Put yourself on the mic there, Pawboy. Go ahead.
The other mic doesn't work now?
The wheels are spinning in his head.
No, we are down a mic. As you can see, it's in a flamingo position. That's never a good sign in the studio.
Okay.
But how
that's
would
a
we
business
have,
tip.
How would we fund that and have the money to have? I mean, you would need thousands in every city if that was kind of the case.
I think more than that, probably.
Well, they would obviously come back, so you wouldn't need, I mean...
But the thing about it, too, is if the cars all talk to themselves, and then that eliminates a lot of traffic problems. Traffic would just flow easily.
No.
The cars talk to themselves. You don't have to do anything but go outside and get in your car.
I saw this video of this robot the other day, and I'm telling you, this is not the direction we want it to go.
What video is this?
This has got these robots now that are like, they run, like, they're basically on wheels, but they can travel up to, like, you know, 25, 30 miles an hour. They can jump. They can spin around.
And what's the purpose of them?
They're going to be used for military purposes.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah.
Yeah, but pretty soon there'll be cops and there'll be everything. Like robots, we're not that far away, man. Like it's going to be bad. And the last thing I want is to not A, own my own car, B, have to rely on some system that takes me where I want to go and when I want to go. And then all my movements can be tracked. No thanks.
Well, what are you doing that you don't want
nothing,
people to
but
know?
Nothing, but I don't want to know. Sometimes you just want to go on a drive.
You got a secret life going.
I don't have a secret life.
Yes,
but,
you do.
But what do you want to? Do you want if you're running for president? Do you
I'm
want?
Never going to run for president.
Hypothetically speaking, if you're running for president, do you want some hacker to be able to break into the car system and be like, "Where were you on this night when you were 18 and across the river in East St. Louis?"
Oh well, that's kind of coming now. They could probably tell you right now where you've been.
I know,
just
but
based on
we're
going to
make it even
goes.
Easier.
They know where your car goes. If you have a recent car, the computer in it tracks everywhere.
It's
going to
be. We're not going to be able. It's going to be very hard in the near future to become a person of fame or public stature who doesn't have, you know, who doesn't get taken down by someone who wants to take them down.
Possibly, but well, I think it's a good thing if we have cars that drive themselves. It'll be much safer.
Well, it's hard to wreck a car these days. Have you ever? I mean, when's the last time you drove like a brand new car?
I've had some rental cars that are pretty new. I never own a brand new car.
Even a rental car though, like you can't. Like if you start drifting out of your lane, it beeps at you. If someone's passing you in your blind spot, it lights up. I mean, you have to really try to wreck a brand new car.
Really?
They have front sensors. They have sensors on the front and the back. Some of them parallel park themselves, and then if you do it yourself and you get too close to something in the front, it beeps before you hit it. I mean, it's really hard.
But if you didn't have to drive it at all, the elderly could drive.
You could take a nap.
Could drive. People who are sleepy could drive. People staring into their phone wouldn't worry about that. If you could knock down,
I like it as an option. I don't like it as the only option.
If you were driving
long distance,
if you had to drive from here to Denver, you just set it on auto and go to sleep.
It would be great for times. I don't want driving your own car to be not an option anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, even if it was just
to take over.
If it was just on the interstate highways, it would help.
Well, sometimes you want to drive yourself.
Hey, Doug, before we wrap up this BP credit card 7 o'clock hour, tell us about Fresh Start.
I don't want to drive myself. I want someone to drive for me. Someone to drive me to
you wouldn't have to worry about parking?
No, I'm not a good driver. It's not like I enjoy driving, but sometimes I just don't want that power to be taken away from me.
Just to not have to worry about accidents and dying in the car. Well, that would be a big one. I don't look out the
windshield
when I'm driving anymore.
The computers will mess up. I mean, there will be accidents that happen. And for some reason, if you told the people, look, we can give you completely, you know, computer-operated vehicles, and there will still be some accidents because accidents are impossible to avoid, mm-hmm. but the number of accidents will be cut in half as opposed to drivers driving. People would still prefer to drive themselves.
It might not be cut because they don't. They, it might they would, be cut like by 98%.
They would still, like the two accidents a year that happen by the computer-operated cars, people would freak out. Because they want to have a hand in killing themselves. They don't want the computers to do it.
Now, Tesla, they hired hackers to see if they could get into their car, and they did, and they crashed four of them. So there are some bugs.
We're right at the beginning of it. With this attitude...
I got to show you this robot video. It'll change your mind.
With this attitude, you're probably going to need a divorce soon.
What does that mean?
And I would suggest...
I'm not even married.
I don't expect your wife or your future wife is going to like this anti-automatic car attitude. And so here's a name I'm going to give you. Attorney Brent Lance. He's with Fresh Start Alternative Divorce Services. And he handles only non-contested divorce cases for a low, flat fee. He's motivated to see you resolve things quickly on your agreed-upon terms in a very short period of time. Brent Lance has more than 20 years' experience practicing in multiple areas of law. And he's handled hundreds of non-contested divorce cases. It really is a lot cheaper. Divorces don't have to be a big fight. Doesn't have to cost you $10,000, $20,000. Most attorneys are going to want a retainer. They use that up quickly, and then they continue to bill you hourly while you fight, and many times you end up in the same place as most others who don't fight it out. So do yourself a favor if you have to go through a divorce and call Fresh Start Divorces. Their website is freshstartdivorces.com with attorney Brent Lance.
And that is, well, and people were worried we were getting too hardcore into the sports talk. There you go.
Well, this has actually opened up some discussion on the text on the Slinger Finger. Says, so there was a Time Magazine article on this, and basically the way they're going to get rid of self-driving cars or when the new automated cars come out with the insurance pool of self-driving cars will get smaller, therefore more expensive. So as people switch over and more people switch, it will become too expensive to drive an insured self-operated car.
Hmm. Well, how much more expensive? If it's another $1,000, we'll probably spend it. If it's another $20,000, people will say, I don't know.
We can talk porn next hour. Yeah, I got a release from my friends at Vivid about something pretty cool.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Stay tuned for the 8 a.m. hour, but let's put a bow in the 7 o'clock hour. Brought to you by BP Credit Card. Earn rewards and redeem at the pump. Mike Johnson, also former Blue Forward and NHL Network analyst, will give us his take on the Kevin Shattenkirk deal at 8:45. Kelly Chase at 9:05. Travis Terrell at 9:30. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.